And glory and honor, blessings and glory and honor, it all belongs to Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you this day. Y'all say, we decree and we declare, we shall praise the Lord. We shall do it without any reservations, without hesitations. But we thank you, Lord. We decree and declare we will not be the same. My mind is changing. Atmosphere is shifting. I'm a world changer. I'm a local changer. I'm alive. I am alive. And you're going to know it. By the praises, because praises is what I do, and I will lift Him up, and I will do it right now, with the mouth, with my confession, in the name of Yahshua. I decree and declare, I'll never be broke another day, another day of my life. I thank you, Lord, that I'm walking in sound mind. I'm walking in your power. I'm walking in your healing. I'm walking in deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. Now I'm able to make these confessions. I'm convinced. I am convinced. I'm convinced. I am convinced that I'll never be broke. Another day in my life. Healing belongs to me. My mind is being healed. I'm being set free right now. My heart is being regulated. I will never be the same again. I thank you, Lord, in advance for a renewed mind in your name. Praise God for them. Hallelujah. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I will never be the same. That is my oath. That is my declaration. That is my proclamation. I'll never be the same. I am relinquishing. I'm relinquishing unforgiveness. I'm relinquishing being in debt. I'm relinquishing being troubled. I'm relinquishing. Hallelujah. My worries, I'm relinquishing it. Anything that concerns me, I'm relinquishing it. The word of the Lord says He perfect those things that concern of me. Father, I thank you in advance for these, your people, your body of believers. Play something real soft for me, minister. Real, real soft. Y'all don't understand the power of musicians and music, how it invokes the presence of the Lord. He only comes when He's invited. I have license to praise Him. Thank you, Lord, for changing lives with your word today. Thank you for making your word revelatory in our lives, that you would speak to us. Thank you for giving us clarity. Thank you for giving us confirmation. Thank you for giving us revelation. And most of all, thank you for giving us an understanding. I'm open for change, Lord. I'm open for a brighter day. I'm alive to serve you today. I'm alive to worship you. I'm alive to lift my hands. I can lift my hands. I can lift my hands. I can lift them. Wherever you are, if you could just lift your hands and point your hands in the direction of heaven. If you can lift both, do so. If you can lift one, do so. But I'm lifting my hands to you, Lord. I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering. Worrying constantly. I'm surrendering. Trying to figure it out constantly. I'm surrendering. Evil thoughts. Ungodly behaviors. I'm surrendering. Being concerned. When I know your word perfect those things that concerns me. I'm surrendering my old way of thinking. I'm surrendering. I'm not going to live this way no longer. I will never live beneath my God-given privileges. I am an heir, and I'm a joint heir with you, God, through Christ Jesus. Thank you for canvassing your service, Lord. Speaking life over your people, your life over Zoom. I thank you for moving mightily from every heart, every mind, every soul. Can we just worship him for a moment, just with silence? And just avail your heart to him. Just avail your mind to him. Just avail your thoughts to him. Whatever you got going on today, whatever's troubling you, whatever it is, let's just surrender. Let's just throw our hands up. Let's turn our hearts over to him. Let's not be concerned what's going on in the earth. Let us escape this temple for a moment. It's possible you can have an out-of-body experience, you know. You can leave this temple alone for a second. It'll be fine. Because your spirit don't have no limitations. If you could just meditate on his goodness for a moment. Close your eyes and just meditate on him just for a moment. Let him saturate your thoughts. Let him massage your temple. Let him reveal who he is in your life today. Let him canvass your heart. Yes, Lord. We're here for you. We're here for you. Just want to invoke your presence here, Lord. We want to invite you. We want to invite you here. This service belongs to you. We just want to be a part of it. Thank you for a fresh wind. Fresh wind, Lord. Fresh wind. Fresh wind. Won't you sweep over the minds of your people, Lord? All across this nation. All throughout this service. Via Zoom. Sweep through their homes. Flush out what's not of you, God. Any uninvited guest that slipped his way in, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to rebuke them, to remove them, to raise that standard in your name, Lord. Ah, yeah, God, we love you in this place. We need you in this place. We need you in our hearts. We need you, Lord. We need you. Hearts are heavy today, but we need you right now. Thank you for shifting hearts. Thank you. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Thank you for doing it. Thank you. Thank you. Can you say thank you to him? Can you say thank you to him? Doesn't he deserve a thank you? Thank you, Lord. Doesn't he deserve a thank you? Don't he deserve your hands being lifted? Don't he deserve it? Doesn't he deserve your arms to be lifted? He can give you strength to lift those arms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear the Lord says, You can elevate him. You're giving him permission to elevate you. If you can exalt him, you're giving him permission to exalt you. If you restrain your praise, then you're restraining him from doing what he needs to do in your life. Don't hold back tears. Don't hold back your praise. Don't hold back your worship. Don't hold back your thanksgiving. Give it all away. What's the song that says, I give myself away so you can use me? I give myself away so you can use me. How many people ready to give themselves away to Jesus? Give him your heart. Give him your mind. Give him your soul. Give him the fiber of your being. How many want to give yourself away to him and just let him be God? Are you feeling doom and gloom? Surrender it. You feeling outcast? Surrender it. You feeling left out? Surrender it. You feeling perplexed? Surrender it. You emotionally tied? Surrender it. There's nothing that you have that Daddy cannot take care of. There's no problem that you have and I have that he can't fix it, that he can't solve it. There's not a pain in your body that the Lord can't heal. If you're broken, the Lord can restore. The Lord says, I already know who you are, but he wants you to know, do you know who he is? God is very familiar with your need. But are you familiar with his name? Do you know God is a game changer? If you look like your team is down, if you look like the plays ain't being called properly, and you barking at the referee, give him some praise. Lift his name up. People just heavy, heavy, heavy. That's what I'm sensing. It's just heaviness. People are just so heavy. Weights on their back. Feel like you can't move. Feeling numb. The Lord got you. He got you. The Lord don't ever miss a beat. Do you remember that last week's scripture? Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You remember that last week? His mercies are new right now. It's as sure as if you go to the store and pick out produce, you know where to go get it. You got to know where the healing is. You're not going to find it in the temple. You got to escape the temple. You got to allow your mind to escape depression for a moment. You got to allow yourself to get free from this temple. This temple is, this flesh is no good. Keep this in mind. What we're living in is a temporary fix. It's not a solution. But thank God for your spirit, man. That it can go into a place to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be restored, to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. So by the time you get back to this temporary flesh, you can tell this flesh, this is the answer and this is the report that I received. That flesh, you are lying. Flesh, you're not stealing my joy. Flesh, you will not make me angry. Flesh, you're not worth me being an unforgiveness. Flesh, I'm not powerless by any means necessary. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the power. I'm full of grace and truth. How I know it? Because Acts chapter 2 told me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, as the Spirit of God give me the utterance, that I can praise Him in my unknown tongue. I don't have to pray Him in English where the enemy or you can understand it. I'm ready to get beside myself. I'm getting ready to go to the throne room of God. Because Paul told me that I can approach Him boldly in His grace. That I don't need to sneak my way into the presence. I have license because Jesus died for my soul. He died for my sins. So that gave me access. That's what made me an heir and a joint heir with God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you got a hallelujah in you? Do you got a praise in you? Do you got a thanksgiving in you? Can you muster up enough strength to express whatever little thing you got left and give it to Him? I am not holding myself back. I'm a threat to the enemy's kingdom. We are a threat to his kingdom. If he's picking on you, because he knows what you're capable of doing. If he's messing with you, he know what you're capable of doing. If he's trying to suppress you, he knows what you're capable of. He knows what's up on the horizon. Here's the good news. The Lord gave him permission to mess with you because he already knows what's coming on the other side. So he's been given license to pick with you because he's helping you get to your next level. You can't get gold without pressure. Paul says, I press my way in. And I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. And I press toward the mark, which is behind me. I press. I press. I'm pressing my way forward. And I'm forgetting those things behind me. Regardless what I see in the rear view, the further I get, that's letting me know I'm further away from my past. My rear view is telling me so. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. And I'm pressing towards my way, which is before me. My prize is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He that dwelleth in a secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. In Him I will trust. I like the middle part when he says, 1,000 shall fall at my side, and then 10,000 at my right hand. And they can't come down my dwelling. Because I'm pressing my way in. I'm hiding under the Lord's feathers, His wings, where I shall take refuge. Hallelujah. 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 We're not just running about Thanksgiving today. Thanksgiving is everything. I'm thanking Him right now. I'm not thanking Him for what's coming. I'm also thanking Him for bringing me out of my past. I'm thanking Him for my present. I'm thanking him for everything he brought me through that I didn't know I could come out of. When I look back at my life and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but my spirit is charging right now. I think I'm carrying some of y'all weight. That's why I can't move forward just yet. I might have to kind of shift a little bit here. I might have to shift a little bit. I'm going where the Spirit of the Lord is, because the Bible tells me where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty means freedom. I'm free. Because that's where the Spirit of the Lord, I'm hanging out with the Holy Spirit. I'm hanging out with Jesus. I'm hanging out with the person I can trust most, who won't never let me down, who will never betray me, who will never forsake me. I'm going to hang with someone I know who could keep me stable. Someone who could keep me from cussing you out. I'm going to hang with someone who could keep me stable, keep me focused, keep me diligent. Each time you go around the Lord in the presence of the Lord, your stock goes up. If you are okay with the altitude you're on, then that's fine, but I'm going to the next level. I am flapping my wings. I'm gearing to soar. I can't hang around peasants, because all they're going to do is drain me. We got to have an eye as an eagle and see things far beyond the natural eye. I'm not hanging around vultures. I'm not hanging around peasants. If that's where you want to be, I can't force you to come and change the altitude of your thinking. But I'm going to the next level. I've been playing in the mud too long with you. I've been drowning in my tears too long. Misery does love company. A group of player haters and naysayers. They do have a player haters degree. I'm not hanging with them. I'm not hanging with peasants. I'm not hanging with faithless people, lawless people. I'm not hanging with them. I can't stay too long. If I go there to visit, I can't stay long. Because then they're going to drain my account, my spiritual account. They're going to withdraw everything out of me, but they don't want to deposit nothing in me. Change my way of thinking. I'm only going to go where God has assigned me to. I'm only going to accompany myself that God has put me in. If I can't change lives, then I need to go around people who can change my life. If I can't change the company I'm on, then I'm not doing anything. And there's nothing wrong with me, it's just something wrong with them, because they don't know what I have on my life. Neither do they know what you have on your life. But if I have to keep arguing and going back and forth with you, matter of fact, I want to tell you something. Why don't you avoid contentious people? What is contentious people, First Lady? It's mean people who just want to provoke arguing. They just want to argue. Fuss, go back and forth, but then where's the real solution? At least come to some terms. What's the evolution in this argument? What kind of value is going to bring me by letting you choke all of my energy and you still where you... And you still will, and you still will, I last seen you. What good news have you received with your contentious self? I'm not hanging around peasants. I'm going back to that again. I'm not hanging around vultures. I'm hanging around some eagles. Because they know how to soar. Some know how to go a little higher than others. I want to go to someone who's doing something more than I am. Because that leads me to believe there's some potential in me that I have not yet tapped into. Can I tell you something? You have untapped potential living on the inside of you. But as long as you keep hanging around peasants, you will never see the value, the true value, and the true essence of who you are. I would believe, though, some people are hanging around those peasants too long. You got to learn how to escape them and get refilled by the Spirit of God. If you are assigned there, you got to know how to escape. You got to know how to bob and weave. You stay too long, you outstay your welcome. They can't get the blessings if they don't receive the anointing and the power and the value that's on living on the inside of you. You trying to convince them who you are, who God is, what God has done, they don't see because they don't believe. Only way they can see unless God opened their eyes. Other words, they're blinded. Why do we go around people who continue to tolerate us instead of celebrating us? Why? Why do you want to be mistreated when you got the all-knowing, all-going, Heavenly Father, Christ Jesus, Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you? You're trying to convince them to get to know Him. They don't know Him. And they have no intentions to get to know Him. So if you're feeling drained in any sort, it's a sign, it's an indication that you've been in a place too long. You outstayed your welcome. It's time to dodge ship. You don't have to convince me what God has done and what He's doing. If you can't see it, I'm not in trouble, you are. I will not let people subtract anything from me unless God tells me to give it to them. I will not hang around people who know how to divide people. But I want to hang around people who knows how to unite folks. Multiply folks, add folks, not subtract, not divide. I'm moving closer to my destiny, even as we speak. What am I? I'm not saying this in reference to me, I'm saying this for the house. I'm moving closer to my destiny as we speak. Because now I begin to know better based on what I'm hearing today. Maybe some of you just need to be reminded. You already knew it, but you need a reminder. And a reminder. There's nothing wrong with being reminded, but don't let that reminder go to waste. Because there's certain things that God would allow the enemy to do, but there's certain things that you're doing for yourself that the enemy don't. He's like, I'm not taking credit for that. That's all you. There's some people still in the spirit realm. There's the Lord speaking to me right now that you got to turn your back on unforgiveness. I mean, literally, it's like this way. Go another way. Turn your back on unforgiveness. Any means necessary. Do whatever you need to do to let that person go. They're not worth your blessing. And if it's not they, the situation is not worth that blessing. Because we keep forgetting, it's not the person you're fighting, it's the spirit that you are contending with. If your weapons of your warfare are not carnal, then what makes you think the person that you're fighting with is carnal? It's the spirit that you're fighting against. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's principalities and spirits. So if the person was used at that moment, let the person go. Go after the enemy, that one that used that person. You know how difficult it was for Jesus to sit at the table at the Last Supper, and the person who was betraying him was right next to him? And he told them, whatever you do, do it quickly, because at that moment, Satan already had influenced him. At that moment, did you know Jesus had to forgive him right off the spot? Because he was the one that was setting his demise up to be killed, to be arrested. He told him, whatever you got to do, do it quickly. Because the quicker you do it, the quicker I can forgive. I'm wondering for a second here, as I'm starting to think about that Psalms 23. Y'all know it all too well. He prepared what? A table? In the presence of my enemies? That's exactly what happened at the Last Supper. He prepared a table. Literally. Not figuratively, literally. The enemy was sitting, breaking bread with him. And he prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, I feel refreshed and refined. There's a spirit in here. And I hope you are receiving it where you are, because the Holy Spirit knows how to permeate. He knows how to penetrate. He doesn't have any limitations. He knows how to zip through your zip code. There's no limitations where I am. What about you? Because at this moment, there's a freedom going on here. And the Lord is already visiting with you right here. I already know it, because I'm sensing him. And if you're not right there, then that's on you. Because I already went. I already packed my bags. I left the peasant hotel. I left the vulture hotel. And if your money ran out, it's because you overstayed your welcome. I'm going to the Eagle Hotel, where I can see more clearly, where I can discern better, where I can see miles away. I'm going to the Eagle Hotel. And I won't stay at the bottom floor neither. I'm going to the suite, close to the rooftop. So I can see everywhere I need to go. I'm canvassing everywhere I need to move. See, I don't need to let the devil tempt me to go to his pinnacle, because the Lord already rising me up right now. He's already raising me up right now. So I don't need to bow down at that devil and offer me something that the Lord already gave me. And the Lord already gave you. I told you earlier, you are heir and a joint heir with God through Christ Jesus. Which means you have an inheritance. A inheritance means somebody had to die in order for you to receive it. But the difference was Jesus got up and he's alive, and you still get your inheritance. Yeah. I'm walking in my sound mind. Repeat that. I'm walking in my sound mind. I'm walking in Holy Spirit's power. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. Fill up to the brim. Fill me up. Be a lifter to my soul. For some of you, it's time to start dreaming again. Dreaming. Thank God that you don't have to wait to go to sleep to dream. You can dream with your eyes wide open. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will show you with your eyes wide open. And then confirm it when you're not aware. My prayer today is that the Spirit of the Lord will move the scale from your eyes so you can see more clearly. So you can make better sound decisions. So you can discern more strongly. There was a scripture with Elisha, and there was an enemy coming at them, and he had his servant, and the servant couldn't see the angels behind the enemy. So Elisha said, "Lord, I pray that you open my servant's eyes." The enemy was there, but the guardian angels was right behind them, letting them know you're not in this battle by yourself. The only difference is a person who can't see the victory before the victory. It's nothing wrong with our five senses, but the five senses cannot pick up what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, remove the scales from my eyes so I can see clearly, so I can discern clearly. And I thank you in advance, Lord, for removing the stoniness from my heart. In Yahshua's name. Y'all give us some praise for that. I will not be timid in this season. I decree I'm going to walk in the power that has been unveiled for me. In your name, Lord. Doors are opening as we speak. Doors are opening as we speak. Let me give you another little trick here. When you praise the Lord with an earnest expectation, you confuse the enemy. Because he had intentions to come in one way. He comes in one way, but with your praise permission, you allow him to leave seven different ways. Pray this prayer with me. Devil, I cancel your assignment. You have no authority. You only can get permission from what my Father give you permission to do. You cannot override the Father which is in heaven. You cannot override His will for my life. You shall not steal my joy. You cannot kill. You cannot steal. Neither can you destroy. Because John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. And I received that life. And I received the abundance of life. In His name, give Him some praise for that. Whatever doors that's been shut on purpose, God did it on purpose. Because you was going to settle if that door, if you were to push through that door. If He would have gave you access to that door, it would have been a subtle entrance. And you would have been comfortable. That's where the peasants stay. That's where your vultures stand. So if those doors are being shut, it has nothing to do with what God would not allow you to do. He shut it for a reason. Because he's preparing a gate, a wide open one, that you can gain entry and access. So you could come in and out. You know that Psalms 23 and 1 that I talked about a couple months ago? Green pastures? You can come in and you can go out as you please. But you can't do that in a subtle atmosphere. You got to settle for what they offer. One thing about peasants, you notice they try to take everything from each other. Whatever's down there, that's what they go after. They go after the most lowest things. They settle. God had to make them for a reason. Because he wanted you to see the difference on what you should be like and what you should not be like. You have too much stock in you. You can't understand. You got to understand, when the Holy Spirit lives in a temple, he don't live in just any temple. Repeat this prayer. Rise and shine.
Rise and shine.
For the light has come.
For the light has come.
And I thank you for this light.
And I thank you for this light.
This light,
should not be dimmed.
This light,
shall be a city.
Set on a hill.
Cannot be hid.
Thank you, Lord.
For Matthew 5 and 14.
That I am a city. Set on a hill. That cannot be hid.
I thank you, Lord.
I'm not leaving here the same.
I came here empty,
but guaranteed I'm leaving here full.
I thank you, Lord,
that you've given me a cup
and
an anointing in that cup to runneth over.
I thank you, Lord,
that now I can be able to be a service
with my running over self
in Yahshua's name.
Give God some praise for that.
You should be energetic now. You should be a little more revived than you were before.
You know why?
Proverbs 11, what? Proverbs 18, 21 says life and death is where? And those that love it will what? Eat the fruit of it.
I speak life over myself.
I speak healing over myself.
I speak deliverance over myself.
Healthy marriages.
Healthy relationships.
I speak life
into my womb,
into my temple,
into my mindset.
I speak the word of the Lord
as concern of me.
I understand
he's the apple.
I'm the apple.
In his eyes.
I thank you, Lord,
for that word.
It shall be made flesh
in your name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me a creative flow.
Witty adventures.
Godly ideas.
Thank you, Lord.
Then I'm laying aside the weight
that so easily beset me.
I'm leaving here full.
I'm determined.
I'm determined.
I'm not leaving here empty.
I'm leaving here full.
I'm leaving here full.
Great is he
that's in me,
that's he
and that's in the world.
You know who you're talking to?
You know who you're referring to?
Great is he
that's in you
than he that's in the world.
Who's in the world?
Satan.
And the people he's using,
the peasants he's using, the vultures he's using. Great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If he's picking on you, if he's picking on me, if he's picking on us, then it's only for a reason to elevate us. No pain, no gain. No pressure, no diamonds. If you're going through any pushback, you have to know, I can't stay here unless I choose to. Only way you can stay where you are unless you choose to. Because there's already a commanded blessing on you and me. He said in John, 1 John, I believe it's 3, he says, I would that you prosper as your soul prosper and be in health. I would that you prosper as your soul, as my soul, as our soul prosper and be in health. That makes up your whole body right there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you said, this is where you come in at. Lord, you said, Lord, you said, you will restore the years that canker worm and the palmer worm has eaten away. You'll find that in Joel 2 and 21. I'm giving you vitamins today. I'm giving you a daily dose of the word of the Lord that he spoke concerning you. There's a commanded blessing on me. There's a commanded blessing on me. There's a commanded blessing on my business. There's a commanded blessing on my marriage. There's a commanded blessing on relationships. There's a commanded blessing on my children. And my children's children. It's a commanded blessing. Blessing's been spoken over me. Over 2,000 years ago. Furthermore, in my mother's womb. So if I came out having some interferences, some demonic attacks, since I was a school-aged child, God knows he got something in store for me. The devil knew who I was. He peeked into my future. And he knows there's great expectations on the inside of me. He's trying to gamble for you. There's a gamble. The devil is gambling God that he can overtake your mind. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you a little permission. But what you can't do is do that. Oh, y'all forgot about Job? Didn't he go around the earth and say, who I can devour? And what did God do? It seemed like God says, it's like he volunteered him, Junior. He says, have you considered my servant Job? You notice that the enemy didn't give a name? God gave him up. The same way he gave up Jesus. God must have known what was on the inside of Job for him to volunteer his most trusted person in the earth. Have you considered my servant Job? The enemy never said nothing about Job. Have you considered him? Have you considered Sister Courtney? Have you considered Evangelist Cassie? Have you considered Dr. Ray? Have you considered Brother Mathis and SG and Junior and Prophetess D and Brother Sean and Hicks and Chelsea Ellaby? Have you considered the Dorch family? Have you considered them? Have you considered Jay Baptiste? Have you considered them? Have you considered First Lady and Pastor Roberts? Have you considered them? Have you considered them? Have you considered their children? Have you considered their finances? Have you considered their vehicles? Have you considered their relationship? Have you considered their mental capacity? Have you considered that? All the devil did was help Job get the double fold at the end of the year. You know, the Bible says it was really a 9-month period, technically. It seems like that long. I think it stops at 42, if I'm not mistaken. But it seems like it was years that Job went through that ordeal. But historians believe it was around a 9-month period. That's the same amount of time that you might have had Zane in 9 months. Is that fair to say? Or did you have him a little earlier? 9 months, roughly, just roughly. So look what you had to go through from first week to the end of 9th month, or the time that you had that seed. The different trimesters you had to experience, the ups and downs. But you did know something at the end of the month, or the end of the year, or at the end of that term, you was getting ready to birth something. That's one thing you can see, sure, that was for sure, that I'm going to have this baby. You never heard of the saying, there's double for my trouble? He had to pay Job back everything he lost. It was the devil that hired Job's friends to come around and try to spoil him. It was the enemy that allowed his wife to tell him, won't you just curse God and die? I hate to say it this way, but for a moment, Job was around some peasants. It got to the point that he even had to pray for his own friends. Because for a moment, I believe he had some unforgiveness towards them. So God says, go ahead and pray for them, because I'm going to show them who I am through you. So God has to use you, and sometimes he has to use you to be the example or the public figure on what a shame looked like for a little while. He'll turn your shame into fame. I love this part, because of his name. That's what he did with Jesus. He made him be ashamed in front of everybody. It was a spectacle. They saw him die. This is the man that did all those miracles. Why he can't feed the 5,000 now? Why he can't save his own life? Didn't he just save Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus? A couple of weeks ago. Why he can't save himself? And you would think for a moment, yeah. They even told him, come down from that cross. It wasn't that he wasn't capable of doing it. He could have, but he thought about you. He thought about you. He thought about me. He thought about you. He thought about you, YouTube. He thought about you. He thought about you, you and you. And he says, there's no way I can come down, because I came for this reason. So he let him be a spectacle in front of all those people. He let him. Never know this. God will never put you in a battle that you can't defeat, because he got more investment in it than you do. His name is on the line for you. God would even allow a most impossible situation that is all hope lost, where there's no hope at all, to believe hope when all hope is against hope. He would allow it on purpose. Not for me, not for you, not to make us a spectacle in front of people to laugh at us and to call us everything but a child of God. But God's name is on the line. At the end of the day, God needs to get glory. Can I move a little scripture here? Jeremiah, can these dry bones live? Impossible. Impossible. It was no hope in those dry bones. No hope. All of us would have given up after seeing something like that. You know, there's a scripture, I believe it's in Mark, it says, with men it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With men, it's impossible. He just took Jeremiah, escorted him to the graveyard, and said, look at all these dry bones. Can these dry bones live? But you know the interesting about this part about, this is why you know God is a bad somebody. You know he could have did it himself, but what did he tell Jeremiah? Prophesy to these bones. So you mean to tell me that there's something on the inside of us when God gave us the commanded blessing? He said, prophesy to these. What do you need to prophesy? What looks like it has no hope that you need to prophesy to? You. Whatever looks dry, whatever looks impossible, prophesy to it. Speak to it. Believe it. Decree it. Declare it. It never told us when did those bones started coming together, though. We just had to read the story that they were. We don't know how long, just in case that you don't see things manifesting after your declaration, doesn't mean God isn't going to be a liar in that word. I think he just wanted Jeremiah to be obedient. To say something he know is impossible. It was damn near impossible. I'm saying it this way. For life to come into some dead bones. That's like God telling you to go to the graveyard and speak to these dry bones. That means anybody that had anything in a grave, it had to be moved and shifted. Coffins had to come up. Bones had to be put together. And then when he told him, breathe into him. Sounds like he did with Adam. That's who we are. That's who we got living on the inside of you and on the inside of me. And I believe what's happening is that we are letting all these things intimidate us because there's no hope. Credit score bad. I don't have no hope. Too much debt. I don't have no hope. Relationship crisis, I have no hope. Financial difficulty, I have no hope. Lost provisions, no hope. And here comes your daddy coming alongside of you, telling you to prophesy to something when there's no hope. I don't know about you, that would make me very uncomfortable to speak to something that I know is dead. In fact, you got to think about Jeremiah's thoughts for a moment. Am I hearing correctly? Am I losing my mind? I'm already going through a pit of hell. And then you're telling me to say something that almost looked like I could be in a psychiatric ward? Am I hearing the other challenges that we have is that when God says something that's damn near impossible, We think we're hearing for ourselves, and that's not him. It's him. It's him. If I'm talking to somebody who's looking at their status quo and saying it's damn near impossible, and then you hear the voice of the Lord say, prophesy to it. Speak into it. Speak life into it. That's what we've been doing this whole couple of hours. Speak life into your circumstances. Even when you don't feel like speaking life, even when it don't feel like there's no hope in the matter, speak life into it anyway. Can I ask you a question, though? If you don't, what you got to lose? Because where you are ain't a good place to be anyway. So I at least might as well muster up enough of a sea that I can tell this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the depth. He said, if you could just believe in your heart, you can say to this mountain and not doubt. That's one of the things he did say. He says, if you don't doubt, there's a chance. But with men, it's impossible. With the company you keep, it's impossible. With the jobs you work on, it's impossible. What's in your financial accounts? Impossible. Damn near impossible. But not with God. Can y'all say this with me? All things is possible with God. All things is possible with God. With men, it's impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. I told you you're not going to leave here the same way you came in here. All God did with Jeremiah is show him what I did with Adam and Eve. I gave him the breath of life. I just want to show you what I did in Genesis 1. Because I believe God says I needed a little cheerleader now, but I had to do this by myself. So I'm gonna have to do this. But then I'm gonna wait for Jeremiah to get on the scene so I can show them how it looked like. Prophesy to these bones. It wasn't just one, it was an army. That was the army that was defeated and killed by the adversary. No hope. Now I wonder why Jesus waited for a couple of days to go back to Lazarus. He's like, I'm not going to that funeral. Not because I don't respect him. But it's too premature. If I go there too soon, they're going to say, No, I have to wait a couple of days till mortification set in the body. I got to know, to let them know who I am, whose I be, what I be. God Almighty. I got to let them know that I'm God. Because folk don't know who I really am. They think they got me. They don't know who I am. When you think you can outsmart God, you're in the world of trouble. My man waited 2 days. He already knew he was. He says he's asleep. God Almighty. I believe you can find that in John chapter 11. He's sleeping. So why are we going to wake him up? Let me just say a prayer. He's dead. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She had enough faith. And he was there. He still died. He was there. But he had to die. Wasn't like he wasn't there. The Lord is there in your situation. Even though he don't feel like he's there, he's there. But he came that this might be glorifying God. You're going to see your brother. Yeah, I know I'm going to see him on that day. I know I'm going to see him on the day of resurrection. He says, sweetie, I am the resurrection. It's not the day. I am. I am the resurrection. It's not the day we need to look forward to. One thing he told Lazarus, he says, get up. And then he had to tell a grave clothes, because nothing can be attached to you when you get free and delivered. Another thing I remember with the blind man, and he had on this cloak. He had to change the outfit. You can't be wearing blind clothes any longer. Once you get free of something, you don't need to go back to wearing it. Put those old materials away. In fact, I would even tell you to discard them. If I can say it this way, and some of you are going to be like, well, Pastor, I need these clothes. Let me tell you something. If you've been bound in those clothes before, I'm going to say something real, real critical here for some of you right now. If you've been bound in any of your clothes in the times of the past, and you've been bound and frustrated and depressed, and you're still wearing them, shame on you. Shame on you. Because you need to be slowly detaching yourself from all of those things that you came from. Not just here, but what you wear. Do you know that certain garments are attached to certain things in your past? Certain garments. It labels you for where you were. But if you're not that man no more, why are you still wearing it? That's what he meant when it's whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What you should do, if I can advise you or instruct you to do so, it's like, go through your stuff and say, well, you know what? I remember I was going through this for a long time. Put that right to the side, okay? Something else? Oh, yeah. I remember you too. Fold it up nicely. That's your new pile. So all of those memories you have that you are holding as trophies, you're going too. Every little thing. Confiscate everything. You be your own warden. Call it contraband. We don't have no idea that certain garments of our past is still holding us back. Some garments are really attached to our past, and we are glorifying them still for some reason. That blind man took off his old cloak for a reason. Why should he wear those same cloak? He could see now. He had no choice in the matter. But when you can see, you got a choice in the matter. Slowly. I said slowly. Don't be so aggressive with it, but slowly. You've been doing it long enough, so you survived, but slowly. Slowly start to detach some stuff that you were a part of when it had you bound, when it had you depressed, when it had you stressed. It's like this. Can I say it this way? If you had a certain teddy bear or a certain blanket that you held when you was in depression, I would throw that blanket away. Can I say it that way? Is that fair to say? Is that really I'm talking for the people who really got that blanket. See, you might be easy for you because you never had that blanket. But for somebody who's been attached to it, to them, that's the only thing they could have depended on at that moment. I would say throw it away. Detach yourself from it. Spirit is attached to that kind of stuff. Remember what he said? The spirit of heaviness for the garment of what? Two different outfits. Two different mindsets. This is what you call a different type of service. See, you flow with the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord knows what you need, I need, you need, and I need. And then he can go about his business and take care of some other people until he come back. You know, it's easier, and sometimes it's not, to make confessions, but it's harder to apply what you confessed. The work is in the application, not the confession only. First thing we do is when we give our life to Jesus, we confess him as personal and Lord and Savior and believe that God raised him from the dead. For those of you who are not saved, just in case you're on Zoom and you're just coming in or your first time here and you never heard the Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10, that right there is the confession. But after the confession is the application. Now it's time to stop doing, brothers and sisters. Don't just be a hearer, but be what? A doer. That's the application part. That's the part that we fail to do when we leave out of this service. We go back to our normal routine. No, I'm going to apply once I leave here, because now it's time to apply on my confession. It's time to go back to the house or to the crib or to that place or the apartment, whatever you got going on, and start folding slowly, slowly. Look, little things that you got in your past. This is not going to go with me. Do you know some people can't go with you to your future? What makes you think clothes ought to go with you? Some people are just not going to ever go with you to your future. Much as you want them, much as you cry, much as you're trying to put them on, much you're trying to game them, they don't know. Those are the peasants. You got to keep the peasants where they are. Leave them peasants alone. Leave them peasants alone. They're not going to change. They're not going to change. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. When you go around peasants, they make you feel and think like them. And you don't even know you have it until you go around some eagles. And then you start to feel offended because eagles is telling you the truth. You're an eagle. Why are you thinking like a peasant? Man, no disrespect. I remember when I was a little boy, I was living in the projects for a little while. And you go, I go back. I remember I had a friend or whatever. I go back. And you know them people were still doing the same thing. When you left there, they go, you see the same thing. Cards and talking about people. That's all they did every single day. 5 years later, doing the same old thing. That could have been me. That could have been you too. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some glory. That he cared enough about you to put aside church systems. He was leading us this way because for the last couple of weeks, wasn't we doing some declarations and proclamations and confession? Now we just went through the whole service doing the very thing that we were doing. See, he knows how to set the stage. God knows how to set the stage for you and I. Sometimes he don't do it all in one shot. He put features in there. Features are the people that you don't want to throw them a whole album just yet. Just let them throw a feature so the world can get used to them. It's like making an appearance. Then he comes out with the album. You don't drop the whole album. You give them singles. You make more money off singles. Units get sold better with singles. You limit yourself when you put yourself on the whole album right away. Come them out with singles. Give them some time. Give them some time. Let them hear a little bit of here, a little bit of there. Featuring you. God is featuring me. Say, God is featuring me. He's not putting me all out at one time. He's just featuring me. I'm just making an appearance. Then I go back to the lab. I can get my word back on. Then he features me again. Go back into the lab and then feature me again. Before I know it, people are going to want me, demand for me, demand my businesses, demand my ministry, demand the word of the Lord that's coming from me, because I'm going back into the lab. Because I'm not hanging out with the peasants. I'm not staying around vultures. I'm an eagle eye. I see things from a different point of view. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us praise God for that. Praise him for that. Amen.